pray. Father, we thank you today that we can give financially into the kingdom of heaven. Our desire is that you'd be blessed with our offering. Father, we give that others may be blessed fully and richly as you've given unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As those are being passed around, we just want to remind you in a couple of weeks, good friend of mine, Pastor Dave Ferranti, is here, and you do not want to miss that message. I mean, it's summer, and, you know, people are in the midst of vacations. We realize that. Trish and I got a vacation coming up, but we cannot wait. We're going to take a week away from the office, but we're still going to be here that Sunday, so come on Sunday because we'll be here. But Pastor Dave is going to be here on the 28th. Come Wednesday, too. Yeah, you should come. And we just want to thank you. If you came out to our house on Friday night, thank you. Thank you so much for matting down my lawn. No, I'm just we had about 60 people come over, and it was awesome. We just had so much fun. So thank you for coming over, and we had some good times. And Pam got a prize. She was going to make sure that nobody else got that 15. She that was her $15 gift certificate, and that's that. You know, no, we had so much fun. But thanks for coming out. We've got a church picnic coming up August 11th. Please sign up for that. If you have not been water baptized since you've been a believer, we encourage you to obey the Lord and be water baptized at that picnic. We'd love to do that with you. Also, we got a marriage conference coming up. Busy summer, but marriage conference coming up. It's called Sex, Love, and Communication. How many of you know who Jimmy Evans is? Jimmy and Karen Evans are going to be it's a simulcast that we support their ministry, and so part of what we get is a simulcast, a direct link to pick that up, and we're going to do a vow renewal and all that. We're going to be announcing that. WLJN has got to have it on the air, and so we're opening that up to the whole community, but maybe it's a way you know somebody that needs some help in their marriage. Invite them to that. Maybe you, and even if your marriage is good, listen, you need this. Maybe you're planning on getting married. This is going to be good for you. It's $25. We're just asking that. There's going to be some snacks and things like that that just helps cover some of the service charges. But, boy, if you can come, $25 per couple, you would not regret it. It's August the 9th. That's Friday evening and Saturday the 10th. So it's a Friday evening from 8 to 10:30 and Saturday morning from 10 until 1. And I think it's going to be a great time. So sign up for that at the Welcome Center, or you can get right online. Get used to going to the website. You can do so much there. You can really register online. You can pay there online, or you can pay at the door. There you go. Announcements. All right. Well, this morning we're going to continue our series titled Mission Possible. And we've been on this for a few weeks, and we've had a few guest speakers in between. And so we're going to get right back on this. And God is really teaching us as a congregation what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You and I have been called to go make disciples. And our mission, should we accept it, Jim, is to go and do that. And you know, Jesus called every single one of us. Some of you may remember the original Mission Impossible. That's where I got Jim from. I saw people looking like, see, I just dated myself. It was before Tom Cruise. But he has empowered us, given us the Holy Spirit, really to go and to make disciples. But listen, and we're going to talk about this a great deal this morning. You cannot make disciple, listen carefully, if you're not a disciple already. If you are not a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and now we think follower, and immediately we say, well, I prayed a prayer. But listen, a follower is like you see Jesus calling the disciples and saying, follow me. It's the only call he's ever made. Follow me. Lay down your life and follow me. And we see a couple of accounts in the Bible where some were going to follow him, and he came back with a question to them, and they weren't able to lay down that one thing that was keeping them from really going all out and following Jesus. And so to be a disciple, it means we're laying our life down and saying, Jesus, you are first in my life, before anything. He says this in Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus is telling us to go and to baptize all nations. Matthew 16:24, he says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. So you and I really have got to make a decision to follow Jesus. Jesus spent 3.5 years with 12 men and then some multitudes, but 12 men in particular, and poured his life into those men. And those men changed the world. They changed the world. You and I are believers now because of what those men did, being led by the Holy Spirit and deciding to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to make our mission possible, God has given us spiritual gifts that empower us. We talked about the discerning gifts. We're not going to go into all this. The declarative gifts, dynamic gifts, motivational gifts, and ministry gifts, which are apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. And if you want to catch up on those teachings, you can get online. But listen, you and I can look at that all day long, and we can talk about those spiritual gifts, and we couldn't really teach those on their entirety. We'll teach it throughout the course of the year. But the thing is, we can look at that all we want, but if you and I never make a decision to be a part of the body of Christ, those gifts really mean nothing. And Paul the Apostle says that. He says, if I can do all those things, but I don't have love, I'm like a clanging cymbal. Now, I thank God that Larry on the drums isn't just a clanging cymbal. You know, he could just sit there the whole song, whatever we're playing, king, 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 and it'd be like, will you shut up? How many know what I'm talking about? So we can study all these things, but if we never act in love and plug into the body of Christ, and we're going to talk about that this morning, laying our lives down is really about entering into a relationship with other people in the body of Christ. Now, we don't understand that concept in our society because really, we live in a very selfish society. Can I just say that without anyone getting mad at me? We really are. We're very self-centered people. We close up our, you know, we work all day, we come home, we close our garage doors, and we go inside. It wasn't like that 50, 60 years ago. It wasn't. People, you know, sat on their porches once in a while. Now our porches are all on the back of the house. Come on, somebody. You know, really, I'm being honest, you know. But we don't only do that in neighborhoods. We do that in the body of Christ. We come, and if we're a good Christian, we come to church. As a matter of fact, statistics tell us that most people get to church. Think about this. Most Christians get to church once every 3 weeks, approximately. That's a good Christian. Now, you're better than that because you come more than that. But that's an average. And, you know, our time, we're busy. We are busy people. We're a busy culture. I realize that. But that's why we offer different services. That's why we have small groups. We'll be kicking those off again in the fall. We've got a couple that are still meeting through the summer. But really, we have to take advantage of getting involved in the body of Christ. We've got some testimonies we're going to share with you over the next few weeks. You'll be hearing about those as we get into August and closer to September. But listen, your life is truly changed when you plug into the body of Christ. God will use us, and we may even see the manifestation of some of the spiritual gifts that we've talked about. But you really don't start to see things start to operate in abundance and in power in your life until you make a decision to follow Jesus, and a huge part of that decision is to plug into the body of Christ and to be a part of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work. Say work. I know we got a small group this morning, but can you say work?
Work.
Oh, thank you. He says, for the work of the ministry. Ministry's work. All right? Now, I'm not talking about children's church and music ministry and tech ministry. That's part of what we do. All right? And we thank God for all of your involvement and help in those areas. But ministry, making ministry your primary purpose. And what does that mean? Being a disciple and discipling other people. People you come in contact with, always sharing the love of Jesus Christ in every avenue that you can, letting your light shine, rather, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, we're going to talk about that this morning because part of what we do is to edify one another, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's wanting us to get to this knowledge of the fullness of Christ. And listen, the fullness of Christ is in his body. And it's you and I fulfilling our part. That's why it's so important. Trisha and I had that word that we shared this morning. It was so just overpowering on our drive in this morning. I mean, we both had tears in our eyes. If we would understand that God takes pleasure in you, Michelle, he looks at you and goes, oh, yeah. Really, God does. And he does that with each and every one of you. If we would realize that and allow ourselves to grow in the knowledge of God, listen, walls would come down. We wouldn't be so critical of one another. We wouldn't be really hiding from one another, because that's what we do. We think, well, I got this and I got that. Hey, listen, I got more than that. All right, come on. So, I mean, we got all kinds of things that are imperfect. But the thing is, we got to get our eyes off of ourselves, get our focus on Jesus Christ, and then allow him to use us in the body so that then the body can go out and make disciples. And so it all works together. And when we're missing part of it, we cannot do the job as effectively as we could. Listen, I believe this with all of my heart, The work of the ministry, making disciples, is an obligation that each and every person who calls on the name of Jesus has. Every one of us. Jesus, again, he said, follow me. So really, in fact, we even have on those cards that we hand out, one of the things that we list on there is that you should not only know how to lead someone to Christ, but feel an obligation to do so. Now, it's not a burden, you know, and there's times I run into people and have a conversation, and maybe I drive away and I think, oh, I could have done this different or that different, but you can't beat yourself up. But if you don't at least live your life open to the fact that I am here to make an impact in somebody's life, you are not fulfilling your call. You are not fulfilling what God has asked you to do. And I really believe that part of that is having an effective support system, which God calls the body of Christ. And when you take a look at the church, and the next week or two, whatever we have that we can wrap up this series, we're going to take a look at some scriptures that show us what the body of Christ really should look like. Because what's happened in our society is we think the body of Christ is a show. We think it's entertainment. All right? Now, it's good to have good worship. I mean, you know, if you have people leading worship that are good musicians and singers, it helps a little bit. I mean, it's good. You don't want a bunch of people leading music that can't sing. You don't want people helping in children's church that hate kids. All right? But it's not just a weekly show or a weekly performance. Do you understand? I mean, we do that so we can get together and be strengthened and be edified. But we got to realize that, really, if we are not doing our part, if we're not plugging into the support system, then we're not caring for one another properly. Because there's care, Wayne, that you can give to the body of Christ that I cannot. There's care that Dustin and Evie that you can give. I go and I could name every one of you, especially a group this size. I probably know everybody's name. But the thing is, there is something that we can do, and if we don't do it, it's not getting done. Now, of course, we need to let our light shine. We've talked a lot about that in this series, where we're at in our workplace, in our neighborhoods. But I want to focus a little bit on really getting plugged into the body and allowing God to use me to help to strengthen the body. Because we miss that so much of the time. Because you look at the New Testament, and it looks at the church, followers of Jesus Christ, that they're living aside one another for the sake of one another, caring for one another. And really, the church has just become a place that we go, we feel entertained. If we're good Christians, we give some money. We even volunteer. And then we go home. And that is not what God's intent was. 1 Corinthians 12:25, it says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal, say equal. Does that mean the same? Does that mean the same? Does equal mean the same? All right. He says, equal concern for each other. Equal concern for each other. I was just talking with a young couple yesterday, and part of our conversation, they're going to be getting married here in a little bit, and part of our conversation was about communion and things like that, and some of their beliefs in communion are just a little bit skewed, and we get to this place where we just start to think, well, you know, the pastor needs to present communion, and you know, because I am holier than the rest of you. Now, those of you who know me, you know I'm not, but what we've done, and maybe not so much in this church, but what we've done is we've, and listen, the position of pastor should be honored, it should, but we should honor each other. I mean, so I'm not, I don't want to diss that position. It's a great responsibility, and I thank God he's called me, and I view it as important, so don't misunderstand me. But what we've done is we've got to this place where we don't realize, look, we all have equal concern. We all have equal value, let me put it that way. We really do. I need you as much as you need me. You need the gift that a pastor is to lead, to cast vision, to bring a teaching that unifies us and helps us to really do what it is that God's called us to do in this community. And we need each other that way. But listen, I need you to encourage me as well. I need your gift. Not only do I need your gift, but everybody else needs your gift. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need you. Now turn to another person and say, you need me. And I know you probably didn't believe that, but it's true. You do. We need each other, all right? And here's the thing. What does it mean? It means taking responsibility. Taking responsibility. Now, sometimes people might think when you teach a teaching like this, somebody may be thinking, well, why don't you teach this in September when attendance is back up? Because the ones who come in summer are the ones who are going to get this first, so I'm just going to teach it in summer. All right. And listen, enjoy vacation. Get out of town. I'm not saying that. But we're going to teach this now because I believe the people that go through summer on a regular basis are the core people. All right. But the thing is, why am I taking responsibility? Because what's happened is we've gotten into a habit of dating the body of Christ. We're not supposed to date the body. Well, I like being with you, but I'm only going to go so far. Really? Now, listen, I mean, and you know, and I'm not against dating. If you're a single person and you date, I'm not, that is not. But listen, but you got to understand something. Dating and bouncing around, oh, I'm going to date this person, that is not God's way. God, that is not how God designed it. Matter of fact, when you look at just marriage, which is a picture of Jesus and the body of Christ, you didn't even select your own spouse. I know to us in this culture that seems crazy, but listen, we don't do that good a job selecting our own spouse anyway. Can I just say that? All right? It's just not our culture, so we're not used to it. But you know, people apply that and we date the body of Christ. Well, I've met so many people. I know it doesn't apply necessarily maybe to this group today, but how many times have we seen that? Well, I'll go over here, then I'll go over here. Well, I just like this over here. And what you see is people will even if they're good, they'll go to a church for a few years, but as soon as that church starts to shift direction a little bit. And listen, I believe a church should, from time to time, shift direction. I do. I believe that. Because it causes things to be shaked up. Shaken. What's the word I want to say? Shaken. Thank you. See, I need you, Wayne. Shaken. All right? Because when things are shaken, how many know the dust settles and what's left is left? That's what you work with. All right? But so many times, well, you know, I liked the church when it was. I met so many people. So many people I talk to in the Traverse City area, and I'd just be talking, and I might find out they're a Christian. I'll say, oh, where do you go to church? And they'll name off a church. I'm not going to say the name. But several, I mean, it might be a large church in the community. They said, yeah, and, you know, we liked it. I even ran into somebody that goes to church in the Grand Rapids area, and they say, yeah, but it's so big. I'd love a church more like your size. You know, we're about 250 people, whatever, you know, when everybody's coming to church. Why? Why? And I understand what they're saying to some extent. So don't misunderstand me. And there could be, you know, God may be moves people. I understand all that. But when God moves people, he does it. It's done with order. It makes sense. All right? I don't divorce my wife, Trish, just because she starts making chicken a different way. Are you with me? But, you know, that's what we've done. That's what we've done. And so when the show ain't quite what it was, or maybe, you know, the church is getting bigger. Listen, if you do things right, the church will get bigger, all right? But I believe we'll get deeper, and that's why I'm going to take time to grow this way, deeper in our relationship with Christ, deeper in our relationship with each other. But nonetheless, the church will grow when it's healthy. And we're growing, and many churches in our community are growing. So things will grow, but that's not a reason in itself. Well, you know, it just isn't what it used to be. Well, if the church gets bigger, then it's a good reason, and that's why we're emphasizing small groups now. You might as well get in a small group now, because the bigger a church gets, the more you'll need a small group, all right? And the gathering is biblical. A larger gathering once a week is biblical, all right? The early church did it. They met in the synagogues, but they also went from house to house. They broke bread, had fellowship, they had prayer for one another, and we're going to be spending time on that over the next couple of weeks so we realize how important my part is. We don't date the body. We commit to the body. I'm married, doggone it. And you know, no matter what, that's that. We are going to make it work. And if Trish is going to fix chicken this way, then I'll just keep eating that chicken and I'll do everything I can to help her realize she needs to make it the way she used to. No, I'm just kidding. But you see, but the Bible says that we should be loving one another. Look what it says, John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And many of us probably know this scripture, and we kind of breeze over it. Well, you know, the world will know us by our love for one another, but you know, we don't apply it. What does love mean? Love is not boastful. It's not proud. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It doesn't demand its own way. Hardly ever gets upset. 1 Corinthians 13, read it on your own. That's love, all right? But we really don't apply that. And listen, even in a relationship, how many know sometimes we can rub each other the wrong way? You can. It's okay, shake your head like this, because it's true, okay? You can say that. But you know, we have an obligation to work through those things, to love one another. How? The way Jesus loved us. Jesus laid down his life, a ransom for many. That's our example. That's our example. Serving, loving, encouraging one another. The Bible says we should host one another. We should open up our homes. 1 Peter 4:9, he says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Now, I made a joke this morning and thanked you all for flattening my lawn, but the thing is, you know, there was a point in my life where I might grumble like that. It's kind of funny. But, you know, you don't open up your home and then grumble. I mean, the Bible says that don't eat with a miser, because the whole time you're eating, his heart's not with you. He's wishing he wouldn't have fed you. You know, how many times do we have that kind of an attitude? Well, I'm going to do this, but I can't wait till it's over. I'm going to open my house, but I can't wait till everybody leaves. Come on. Yeah. Awful quiet in here. But it says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Acts 2:42, it says, and they continued, who? The church, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. I want us to think about that for a moment. And many times we'll read this, and I believe we'll read it incorrectly. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All right. Now, I want to take a look at this fear came upon every soul part, because it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. All right. Now, we may read this and think, oh, that means that everybody in the town became a believer. That is not what they're talking about, because that did not happen. All right? Didn't happen. Matter of fact, there were many as the apostles and the church grew, and we're probably not going to get that far today, and maybe we won't even get into it. But you take a look at really accountability. We're not going to get there yet this morning, I know that. But being accountable and judging sin in the body, and if you did it the way the Bible teaches, you know, the Bible even says that people in the community were afraid of the apostles, yet they respected them. Yikes. I can see that kind of got you wondering, so you'll have to come back in a week or two and hear the rest of the story. But that's, if you take a look at the biblical, the way they live life together, we need each other to hold each other accountable, not to condemn one another, but to live life together so that we can say, hey, man, can I talk to you a little bit? Maybe you got a little problem going on here. You're not the person that you normally are. You only know that when you're in relationship with people. You know, I've got a bunch of people in my life that say, what's the matter with you, man? Can I pray for you? Why? Because they're around me. They know. They know when I'm crabby. And they have permission to ask. But it says, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I want to read the same thing in the New Living Translation. If we can pull that up, Zach. This is Acts 2:42 in the New Living Translation. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. We served communion last week. And to prayer, it says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. May I suggest to you this morning, and I believe this, that the more we commit to each other, the more that you and I have fear of God in our lives. And not a fear like, what's he going to do? I mean, we know that God has an expectation for our lives. God loves us. We already said that this morning. God loves you. He loves you. He looks at you and he loves you. Loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. But he loves you enough that he gave you a gift called the body of Christ that can help you live a more productive life. Because listen, in your fallen state, you cannot do it. It's impossible. You will either be the scientist trying to be more like God, or you'll be the person that shuts all their curtains and doesn't come out of the house when they get home. One of the two. All right? Because that's what Adam and Eve did. They wanted to be more like God, and then they hid. But what happens is when we plug into the body of Christ, when we get involved in each other's lives, you can't help but want to live a life more for pleasing God. And may I suggest that's what's happened in our culture, in this country in particular, is we really have made the church so easy for people that we really don't have a genuine fear of God. Now, I'm not saying don't drink, don't chew, don't run with those. You know, we limit God so much, and there's so much teaching that shows us, look, it's grace that you're saved by, that I'm saved by. And everything's permissible. But, you know, God gives us things, and we should apply discipline and moderation to our own life. I mean, I could go on and on with this. We get so judgmental. Don't drink, don't do this, put that cigarette out. Are you kidding me? That is what we have lowered the gospel to in this country. I'd rather have a small group in my home where somebody comes over and they feel they can have a beer. This may blow somebody's mind. Now, I'm not going to have people over to my house, all 60 of you, with a keg. That is not what I'm saying. All right. Don't misunderstand me here. Please don't misunderstand me. That's why I want to say that. But say, hey, have a beer, have a burger, hang out, let's pray. Invite the neighbor. Hey, you want a beer? Come over with us. Well, our neighbor came over. He always, every time, both Vicky and Bob, they come over. He didn't even ask this year. He just comes over because he knows he's welcome. And we go over to their house and they come. I mean, we see them all the time anyway. But what we've done is we've boxed God in. And we've become so judgmental that we box ourselves out from one another and we box the world out from us and they want nothing to do with us. I'd rather have you in my house. Now, I know you don't drink, Steve, but I'll use you as an example. You have a beer, we have a burger. Good, we pray, you go home. And then you show up a couple months from then and you're already two sheets to the wind when you get to my house and you got a 12-pack with you. I'm going to be like, bro, let's pray. What is going on in your life? I hope I'm making sense to you this morning, because I'm not suggesting that we all get together and get drunk. That'd be wrong. That is not what I'm saying. You should not be drunk. The Bible says not to be drunk. It is a sin to be drunk. To be drunk and out of control is a sin, because you make a fool of yourself and a fool of Jesus. Plain and simple. But if we had more of the real body of Christ in our lives, we would have more liberty with each other, and having more liberty would cause us to have more discipline, would cause us to have more fear of God, and would help us to walk in power and authority, and the world would go, they're different. That is what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. But in our culture, we say, well, you can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't have tattoos, and you sure can't gauge your ears. So I did a bunch of it. People say, why do you do all that? I just told you why. So I love it. I get around people. And I love it because people ask me the story about them. Other people are like, you know, that they're like, you know, most of the people that do this, they're in the church. People in the world, it's like somebody once said, the only difference between a person with tattoos and a person who doesn't have tattoos is a person who has tattoos doesn't care that you don't have them. You know, and that's not for everybody. Everybody's got to do what they want to do, and you can get excessive, and everything should be in moderation. And you know, because I think you see some people, they got piercings on their piercings, and it's like, is there a person in there? You know, that's sin. That's the difference between having a beer and drinking a 12-pack. Are you with me? Yeah. All right. Now, you don't get to smoke pot because that's illegal. And even though it's medical marijuana, that was pushed through so that your pot smoking could be made legal. And you realize that, all right? But what we've done is we've made the church something it's not supposed to be. But you know, if you and I would have grace and forgiveness towards one another, if you and I, and this is where we're going to go with this, would grow in our knowledge of Christ together, we wouldn't have a problem with some of this stuff because we'd just be praying for one another. We'd be enjoying life together. We'd be having fun together. And people would go, man, you love each other. But instead, they go to the bar and they drink too much because somebody said to me the other day, you know, we need to find a bar to go sing karaoke in. I said, let's go. Let's get a group. You know, we had a group that went, and I know people are going to say, what are you going to do? You're just going to go hang out in bar? Listen, that is not, oh, my goodness. You got to hear my heart in this. And some people have no business in bars. It's where the lost people are. But that's where they are, you know. They're everywhere. But that's one of the places they are. That's their church. go down and sing karaoke and just act like an idiot without drinking. Tell me that won't make an impact. Come on. It's the truth. To all the girls I've loved before, I'm just, it's karaoke. That's karaoke. You sing these songs, it's kind of like, so I'm just like Willie Nelson. Yeah. All right. Is this getting to you this morning? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, real people living real life with a real God who's got the answers, that's more than just a slogan. When God gave that to us 3 years ago, it meant something to us. It meant that God was raising up a group of people that's going to be different than what the church has looked like to this point. Because listen, we have great buildings that we've built that are country clubs for great entertainment that the world doesn't care about. And we even do our Easter programs. But you know, most of the people that go to Easter programs just went to another church anyway, and their church attendance went down, and they went to your big service, and because they're not living right, they raise their hand and get saved again. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I've been in the body of Christ now for 23 years, and I've been involved in ministry. And we don't have everything figured out. Please don't think that. We don't. We need each other. We need every church in this community being who they're supposed to be. But we don't need another one doing what somebody else is already doing. Does that make sense to you? You got to be who we are. And if we don't plug into the body of Christ, if we don't let other people see us, you know, we need to live life so comfortable someone could come up to me and say, Pastor, you need a Kleenex. But you know, we're so afraid, it's kind of like, we won't even say it, it's kind of like, anybody ever remember the story of the emperor's new clothes? Anybody ever? Yeah. Hosting one another. Continuing in the fellowship and the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship will help us to fear God. Fellowship will promote spiritual gifts. I'm talking about genuine fellowship. When you just get together and act in all stiff, righteous ways, Holy Spirit can hardly move in that environment. Because Holy Spirit is Jesus in spirit form living in us. And Jesus didn't have nothing to do with that. He'd show up once in a while and say, whitewashed! Whitewashed tombs! Inside of you is all dead man's bones! And you say, I'm out of here, man. I got to make some wine at the wedding over here. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Jesus worshipped as a Jew, and I know that. But I'm trying to make a point. Jesus was a real person. And we get these religious attitudes, and we think, well, you know, and let's pray a moment. Father, I just need your help, know how to, where to go with this. And, all right. So let's just keep our heads bowed. I want to pray. So if you're here this morning and you realize that there's things in your life that you've allowed them to be more important to you than Jesus, the body of Christ, there's things in your life that you've allowed to become idols, there's things in your life that you have made religious platforms, and you've hidden from people. Would you be bold enough this morning to step out and say, I'm going to start living different. I'm going to start living real. I'm going to embrace God's love, knowing He loves me the way I am, but I'm going to be comfortable enough to just live my life the way that He made me, comfortable enough to be a part of the body of Christ, comfortable enough to say, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you ask me to go. Lay down things in our lives that have just become religious activity that mean nothing. If you're here this morning, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. If that's you today, would you lift your hand? I want to pray for you. Freedom, 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 freedom. I see all that. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your liberty. I pray that the God of all hope would fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you would abound in hope by the power of His Holy Spirit. Today I declare you free in your mind, free in your thinking, free to live as God has made you, as His prized possession, as His work of art, to give Him glory. In Jesus' name, amen. right, go ahead and look this way. If you need prayer for anything, I know there'll be plenty of people around. Love to pray. If you need some prayer, just grab somebody. Somebody's got a name tag on. They'll point you in the right direction, and we'll get you some prayer. If you want to become a follower of Jesus, talk to somebody with a name tag on. We'll tell you what that means. It means you're going to deny yourself. You're going to live your life for God. But it also means you're going to be on your way to heaven. And I can't think of a better gift than to know that you're on your way to heaven, and now you can live your life free. And if you want to know more about that, talk to me after service. Grab someone with a name tag. We'll give you some information. Talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we'd love for you to make that decision today, because Jesus is calling you. And he's saying, follow me. Follow me. All right. There's going to be a few announcements on the screen. Get involved in the life of the